If you have a Bible today, kindly open up to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 8. Alright, and 2 Kings 6, verse 2 to 7. Alright, there will be two portions of reading today, Ecclesiastes 10, 8, and 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7. And I'll be reading to you from the New King James Version. Ecclesiastes 10, 8. It says here, if the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hands and took it. Shall we pray? Father, bless the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, visit us today. Empower us today. Anoint your word today. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Amen. I have been cooking for the last 39 years for this church. And it is a custom that before any big events of the church, say Christmas, I would always ask my helper to sharpen at least 10 knives, 10 mga kusilyo for my staff, who would always come over to my house to help me prepare for the big buffet. Any cook will tell you that one of the most important cutleries in the kitchen is a sharp knife. And famous chefs always use very good and sharp knife. Why? Because wisdom will tell you it is very foolish and frustrating to slice meat or chop veggies with a blunt knife. It requires more work, and it destroys the texture of your meat when your knife is blunt. Today in our key text, we read about Ecclesiastes 10:8, where Solomon compares wisdom to a sharpened blade. It takes more strength to wield an axe or a sword when the blade is dull. And to cut something in two, a man has to keep hacking away at it. So the theme of our first key text in verse 10 is work smarter, not harder. In the second key text, 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7, the story is told of the school of the prophets that had grown to a point that they needed to build a new school for the prophets. As they were in the process of cutting down trees to build their new school, one of the prophets lost his axe head in the river Jordan. He became distraught because the axe head was borrowed. It wasn't his. He cried out to prophet Elisha, and the prophet performed a miracle, and the axe head floated to the surface, and the man put out his hand and picked it up. So from our two key texts, we have two kinds of workers. One, a worker with a blunt axe, and the other, a worker who has lost his axe head. One is a foolish worker, while the other is a worker who has lost his cutting edge. I am sharing this sermon because Harvest Month is coming in next Sunday. And many of you from this first service are going to be working and serving in one way or another in the many, many programs planned out for the whole month of September. The type of worker you are is very important and essential to the success of our Harvest Month and thus this message. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I would like to share a sermon entitled, Sharpen Your Axe and Don't Drop It. My outline will be as follows. The folly of working with a blunt axe. Next, how to sharpen your axe. Next, the tragedy of dropping your axe head. Next, how to recover your axe head. And last but not least, the axe down one. Let's look at our main point, number one, the folly of working with a blunt axe. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. I want you to imagine someone using an axe to cut down a tree. That axe at one time was razor sharp. When it was aimed at the side of the tree, it always sliced deeply in the wood. Look at the picture. But after much use, it had become dull. The edge was no longer sharp. And this is my question to you this morning. Which takes more effort to cut the tree down? The guy with a razor sharp axe or the guy with a dull axe? The answer is clear, isn't it? It is the first guy with a razor sharp axe. And this is the truth here. The duller the axe becomes, the more human effort is required. And this reminds me of a joke about a chainsaw. A man goes to a tool store to buy a chainsaw. The seller sells him the top of the line model, saying this chainsaw will cut through over 100 trees in one day. The buyer takes the chainsaw home and begins working on the tree. But after working for over 3 hours, he only cuts down 2 trees. Dua ka kahui lang. So he asks himself, how can I cut for hours and hours and only finish 2 trees? The next morning, he gets up early and works until nighttime, but still only manages to cut down 5 trees. The very next day, the buyer brings the chainsaw back to the store and says to the seller, this chainsaw doesn't work properly. The buyer looks at the chainsaw and say, it looks okay. And he starts the chainsaw. The buyer jumps back in shock and cries, what's that noise? You get the joke? The lesson of this illustration is the buyer didn't know how to use the tool. He doesn't know how to use the chainsaw. He took the chainsaw and just go and saw, you know, the tree without pulling the motor on. The engine or the motor was not on. So it's still a manual saw. So the lesson here is this guy didn't know how to use his tool. But our key text are Ecclesiastes Bela. The problem is more that the man doesn't keep his tool in the right condition for using it. Our key text in Ecclesiastes is not telling us that the man doesn't know how to use his tool. Rather, it's telling us that he fails to keep his tool in the right condition. In other words, he doesn't spend enough time preparing his tool for achieving maximum output. Another story. Back in the 1800s, a young man was looking for a job and went to a local logging company to apply for a trabajo. The foreman asked him if he could cut down a tree with an axe. The young man said yes and proceeded to take his axe, walk over a tree and drop it like an old pro. The foreman was impressed and hired him. On Monday, sa Lunes pala, the young man outperformed everyone else on the crew. But each day after that, he got slower and slower and slower. And by Friday, he barely managed to cut down even 1 tree. He worked just as hard, swinging his axe, hitting the tree over and over again, but it just didn't work as well as it did on Monday. Finally, the young man, who was nearly exhausted, laid down his axe and sat down. And at this point, the foreman came over and told the young man he knew what the problem was. He explained to the young man that he had been so busy cutting down trees that he had forgotten to sharpen his axe. Consequently, it had become dull and was essentially walapulos, useless since it had not been kept in good condition. Another story. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. The challenger said, I don't get it. Every time I check, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. The reply came from the winning woodsman. You didn't notice that while I was resting, I was sharpening my axe. And the lesson is this, brothers and sisters. We need to get this wisdom from Ecclesiastes. We need time. We need some time away slow down, and sharpen our tools. A butcher explains that a sharp knife means you have to make fewer cuts. A dull knife makes you work harder, and several cuts are required when one or two would do. A sharp knife will also cut more cleanly and precisely than a dull knife, and with much less chance of slippage. And all these stories that I just told you show us how important it is to take the time to prepare. John Vernon McGee illustrated how important this is for the ministry by telling us this story. Quote and unquote by John Vernon. He said, a young man told me the other day that God had called him to preach and he wanted to take a short course to prepare himself. That means he wanted to go to the Bible school. So John Vernon said to this young man, don't do that. Sharpen your hoe, H-O-E. Sharpen your sword, your espada. Don't go out and train. Take the time for sharpening. Meaning to say, don't think that by studying the Bible school, you will sharpen your sword. Actually, it is actually more to rest in the Lord and to take time to allow the Lord to sharpen your life, sharpen your conviction, sharpen whatever the Holy Spirit is teaching you. I want you today to think about the man that God used mightily in the Bible. Look at Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years for God's promise of a son to be fulfilled. Look at Joseph. Joseph was sold to slavery at the age of 17 and he spent 13 years serving Potiphar or even in a prison. David spent 12 to 13 years on the run from Saul before becoming a king. Paul spent 3 years on the backside of the desert before starting his ministry. Jesus spent 30 years preparing before he came out at the age of 30 into the public ministry. God was preparing them, sharpening them so that he could use them. The skilled craftsman always makes sure that the axe he uses is sharp before he begins his work. It's easy to see when it's put like that, but not easy for us to put into practice. Don't we often, as a church, go rushing into things, barging ahead, justifying ourselves that we're busy, that we're doing something without first stopping to think whether this is really the right way to handle the situation or deal with a person. Before we all rush into performing, singing, acting, evangelizing, inviting people for our harvest month, let us heed what Jesus said to his disciple. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. So when I ask you in my title to sharpen your axe, it means to take time and rest in the Lord. It means waiting in the presence of God. Wisdom tells us to take time to sharpen our tools. What tools has God given you today? Has God given you a sharp mind, your heart, your hands, your relationship, your ministry, your job, whatever tools God has given to you, take time to sharpen them. This principle also applies to education. Be sure to get the best training, sharpening skills for effective service in the kingdom of God. It all applies to relationship. A prudent courtship is far more likely to lead to a more successful marriage than a whirlwind romance. I've read that more sessions of premarital counseling that a couple gets, the more likely they will be satisfied with their marriage. I ask you this morning, how sharp is your axe? How sharp is your blade? Are you hacking away at life like a fool or staying on the sharp edge of wisdom? Living wisely may take more time at the beginning, but it saves more time in the long run. Make sure you have the right tool for the job that God has given you to do and then take time to prepare them well. Zach Erswine, a Bible commentator, points out, the fool believes he has no time to sharpen his worn-out blade. The fool believes that rest exposes either weakness or loss. The fool believes that fatigue in persons or instruments is not permitted. The fool believes that people and instruments are made for our use. He will use them and will not slow down because they are worn out, nor will we take the time necessary to nourish, daily tune up, or recover their strength. This is the mentality and the mindset of a foolish person. Today, my encouragement to you through my message is slow down in order to speed up. Retreat in order to advance. rejuvenate all your resources. Whether your resources is in your singing skill, your playing of the instrument skill, or whether it's in your acting skill, or whether it's in your writing skill, or whether it's in your directing skill, or whether in your ushering skill, or your follow-up skill. Rejuvenate all your resources. F.B. Meyer, make a helpful application to Christian worker by this analogy. He says this, there are times with all who work for God when they are blunt through much usage. At such time, let us turn to God and say, God, put in more strength. Let thy power be magnified in my weakness. Give more grace so that thy work shall not suffer. Surely more work is done by a blunt edge and divine power than by a sharp edge and little power. Why do I have to spend 16,000 minimum for the whole month in August, for the 8 departments to conduct all your individual departmental renewal meeting? Because I see the need for the HOD to lead all the ministry workers under you into this time of waiting before the Lord. I'm not asking, you know, for a very flamboyant, I'm not asking for a spectacular rush of the wind and a fire of tongues like the upper room. I'm asking you as a HOD to lead the people into the presence of God. Wait in the presence of God. Let God come and search their life. Search our hearts. Get right with God. Get right with one another. That's why there's a session of repentance. There's a session of reconciliation with one another. There's a session where we ask one another to pray for our needs, our one great burden. There's a session where we also ask you to pray for your HOD. What is all this? It is the time to sharpen your sword, because I know September is coming. And you need all this private time, or, you know, a very small gathering, too big a time. We cannot handle because we will bypass somebody. I want you to have individual time with your people to do the DRM. It's a time to wait upon the Lord, where you will sharpen your axe again, so that when the harvest man comes in, your blade is sharpened enough in your spirit man to be able to chop down, okay, the trees, chop down, alright, wrong religion, chop down, stronghold of darkness, chop down sin in the people that you are going to witness to. My second point, how to sharpen your axe. An axe is made of iron. And iron is the emblem of service. Okay, look at the different ages, okay, of human civilization. Human starts off with the Stone Age, which is prehistoric, uncivilized, and savage. And then we have the Golden Age. It's just like a dream, like a utopian society that never come to pass. It will only come to pass when the new heaven and new earth, the millennia or age, will come upon us. But the Golden Age is like a dream. But what is the true age? The true age that evolved from the Stone Age is the Iron Age. How do I think so? Or how do I claim so? Think of the plow that the farmer used. The plow is made of iron. Think of the sword that the army is using. The sword is also made of iron. There are 1,000 users of iron. Look at the huge machinery that man is using in a factory, in the industries of aviation, shipyard, and even the auto industry. Iron is involved. Iron is used by men to master the earth and lighten their labor. Iron is a symbol. It's an emblem of service. And because of Iron Age, it was able to build up our civilization, build up our strength. So iron stands as the fittest emblem of service. But there's a problem with the iron. The iron gets blunt. And this is something we cannot help. The more you use the iron, the blunter it will get. And this is something, a truth that you cannot help. The only thing you can help is this, that it does not remain blunt. Brothers and sisters, let's face the fact. We are 38 years in the Lord and in existence. Harvest Month has been held traditionally and constantly every year. I believe some of you, like me, you're tired of singing. You're tired of directing. You're tired of performing. Why? Because when you have the talent to be a playwright, when you have talent to be a singer, when you have talent to be a musician, you'll be used over and over and over again in this church. And the iron gets blunt through over usage. You use it again and again. If you use one time, it's okay. But if you use it again and again and again and again, it gets blunt. So if we do not do our job to maintain and sharpen our axe or our sword or our edge, we will be the fool. We spend so much money, we spend so much time, we spend so much strength, but the result is so little. So our job is always to sharpen our axe. I'm very happy with the 33 people that were being conserved by the workforce of this church. And I thank all of you, directly or indirectly, okay, who are involved in conserving this 33. You know why I'm thankful? Because you know, it take 1 year, I had 33. I have 33 faithful new ones who stay with us and can even say in the testimony, even without rice, I will come. Praise God. Give a clap offering to these people that make this resolution to the Lord. Amen, right? Why am I thankful to them? You know, am I like some, those flamboyant pastors? Oh, it's a failure. It should be 330 souls. It should be 3,000 souls. Like Peter on the first message. No, no, no. You know why I'm very thankful? Because I remember during the Amigo time. Amigo is the hotel, the first hotel we started our work. We went to Plaza Libertad for 7 years. How many got born again? Dua lang. Sino sila? One is Pastor Annalyn. Another is Anado, who is now a church planter in Antique. Dua ka so safe lang. But look at our harvest month last year. You did all the job. We have 33 people. Compared to 2, 33 people. Glory be to God. I'm very, very encouraged. There are many, many people that conducted crusade, but not, I mean, they will say, 100 people will say, I want to believe in Jesus. They will come to the altar. But how many got conserved? That's always the problem. We have already conserved and are still conserving this 33. And I believe this year, another group will be coming in. So how to sharpen our axe? How to sharpen all the talents, all the gifting, how to sharpen all the resources that God has given to you? How? First and foremost, counsel, correction, and coaching of men. Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpen iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Those of you that are involved in a harvest month, if you want the harvest month to be good, to be effective, you have to take our correction, like me or Pastor Tony or Pastor Carlos. When you're performing, you'll be having a rehearsal this coming Wednesday for me to see. You must be open to counsel and correction. If you sing out of tune, I will tell you. If you dance and it's not intended one another, it doesn't synchronize, I will tell you. And your coach, maybe through Marco, or maybe through Fernand, or maybe through Gladys, they will coach you. But if you are that kind of singer, you're going to sing for the harvest man, and your singing is not good, and when Gladys coach you, who is Gladys? Let me tell you, you'll be singing with a blunt voice. You're shaming yourself. But when you take correction, thank you, Sister Gladys, for teaching me, I will improve on this part. What happened on the actual day of presentation? You will do well. So if you want your axe to be sharpened, take counsel, take correction, take the coaching of men. Next, how to sharpen your axe? Contact and communion with a friend of friends, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is the most important point. Always be in touch, be in communion, be connected with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the branch, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You cannot bear fruits unless you are connected and you're in contact with the friend of friend, Jesus Christ. Nothing else will keep you fit for the service. Only your contact and communion with Jesus Christ can keep you fit for the service. So what are the practical steps for you to take in order to keep yourself in communion and in contact with Jesus Christ? There are 3 practical steps. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Why? Because Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It teaches you how to navigate the life, your life with the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of the world, not your own wisdom. Next, pray daily. When you pray, it is to, you know, put on strength of the Lord. Pray daily for the Lord to give you wisdom. Next, cultivate relationship. You already have with those who are already working with the Lord's wisdom. Have a relationship with your follow-up workers. Have a relationship with your leader. Have a relationship with your mentor. Have a relationship with your worker. Sharpening the axe of our spiritual life. We have tangible effects on our day-to-day. Growing in our faith in the Lord isn't an aloof, distant, intangible process separated from Monday to Friday. Instead, it sharpens us and makes us more effective in everything we do because we bear His name and carry His reputation. How to sharpen your axe? Constant surrender. Let there be a constant surrender, a giving in of ourselves to the service of God. When you approach to sing, don't say, I don't want. When you approach to give, I don't want to give. Surrender, give in to the service of God. Why was the axe dropped in the river Jordan of all river? Where's not other river? Why is it river Jordan? Because river Jordan symbolizes water baptism. And water baptism, you have to go down. You have to go down, you have to die. You have to let the water submerge, you have to die with Christ. So that you can be raised up and surrender your life to God. Next, consolation. How to sharpen your axe. Take the consolation from Jesus Christ. If you realize that today, oh pastor, I'm just a blunt axe. Some of you today, you're sighing within yourself. I'm not made of fine material, pastor. I cannot take a sharp edge. I'm not one of your very clever people, pastor. I'm not genius at anything. I'm just a plain, blunt tool. I see the steel polish engraven. I see the flashing sword. And I know that I shall never be like that. Well, if you recognize that today, you're not as flashy as other people that's very charismatic with so many gifting, you only have one gift. Then make up for your downness by praying, Lord, I don't have many gifts, but I want to come to you to ask you for more grace. If I'm lacking in skill, God, if I'm lacking in learning, Lord, make me richer in love. I remember when I first joined the youth department of my ex-church, I went hiking with them. And what happened was that after coming down from the mountain, we had to cross a river. And the river is quite, it's not dry river. There was water. And there's no way to cross unless you're going to get your whole self immersed in the water. But there was a lock for you to step on so you can cross over the other side. I was very new at that time. And what happened was that I saw our Christ Ambassador President standing at the other side of the river, helping us, you know, to disembark from the lock. So all the young people, they tiptoe, you know, with caution to cross the lock to go to the other side. When it was my turn, I was scared. I'm not good in balancing myself. And what happened? I fell into the water. And I was drenched. I was literally drenched. And instead of helping me up, the young people were laughing at me. From that day onwards, I purposed in my mind, I would not want to attend the youth church. I never attend the CA. You go and ask all my ex-friends in the ex-church. I was very active in the cell ministry. I was very active in the choir ministry. I was always appointed to be the narrator, okay, for the choir team. I was very, very active in the counselor ministry. I was very, very active in the cell group ministry. I was very active in evangelism, but I never wanted to join the youth church because I was very stumbled. But you know what? Something good come of it. When I saw how unhelpful, uncaring, and unloving the CA youth were, at that very moment, I purposed in my mind, say, God, I have no skill to do the outward bound activities like climbing, you know, crossing the lock. But because I saw the failure of this department, instead of criticizing them, Lord, I ask you to give me the grace to love the new ones. That was my calling. I started off as an usher in the church. And every time a new one was assigned to me, let me tell you, I took so good care of them. that by the time I reached this church to be a missionary in 1986, there were at least 10 new ones who could, you know, who could boldly tell my pastor, because my pastor didn't know they were new ones until the new ones became committed, and then my pastor began to take notice. They said, "Oh, so who brought you to our church?" "Pastor Lily." Then another one, supposed to be appointed to take over my place, so must be interviewed by Pastor Marian. I asked her, "Who is the one that discipled you?" "Pastor Lily." You know why? I realized I'm lacking in these skills with the young people. Okay, thank God you made it up. Let me love the new ones. So I don't know, some of you, you may be blunt in certain skills. Not all of you can sing, you know. I'm very sorry. Though it's very nice to want to be in this department, but not all of you can sing. Not all of you have this, you know, the gift of hearing. You want to be a musician or a singer, you must hear well. It's because you cannot hear well, you always got pitching problem. Not all of you can do that. So because you cannot do that, and then you still want to sing, you become a blunt X. And what happened? You block all the entire department. So either you polish up your skill, or you find a new skill. My skill is not with the youth church. My skill is more in the new ones, discipleship, counseling, taking care of them, teaching them. Go to a new skill. Hello. This person said this, a commentator. "Some tools are the better for not being oversharp. He who was the carpenter, you still need hammer, you still need chisel and plane. Only give thyself to him. Fruitful service is proportionate to our dependence on God. However, this does not mean we are going to be idle. We are called to partner with God and play the part he's calling us to play within his cosmic mandate. The key to having an exponential impact and a sharp's edge through our life and service is learning to live in the biblical paradoxes of waiting and working, striving and surrender, struggle and security. But we start off everything by considering how Christian service requires both waiting on God first while still working for God. You work and wait, work and wait. The problem with our church is you work and work and work and work, but you never wait for God in your private life. You never wait for God as a department. You never wait for God, you know, as a ministry. That's why many of you, your blade is blunt. You work so hard, but very little results. Next, let's look at another scenario, the tragedy of dropping your ex. It's a folly to work with a blunt ex. Because if you do so, you're wasting your energy and your time. But in our second key text, there's a greater problem while working for God, and that is dropping your axe head. Let's look at 2 Kings 6:1-7 and unpack it so you can see the prophetic picture of what took place that day at River Jordan. Let's read. "Now the sons of prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to Jordan and each of us get there a log,'" that means a tree, "'and let us make a place for us to dwell there.'" Elisha was a spiritual leader over the young prophets who were faithfully devoted to God and his word. They saw the necessity of each man participating in the building of a structure, namely the school for the prophets. They wanted to build a Bible school that will accommodate their growing numbers. Brothers and sisters, this portion is trying to tell us there's a need for every Christian in the body of Christ to be part of building God's church and assembling together. Hebrews says, "Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's go on to the next section, verse 3 to 4. "And Elisha answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servant.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So Elisha went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down the trees." Elijah had been called the precursor to Jesus, because both their lives and name mirrored each other, including signs and wonders and the miracles they performed. Elijah means God is salvation. God is Kaluwasan. Jesus means Yahweh will save. The trees here, they went to cut down the trees. Trees represents people. The trees have been cut down in order to build something bigger and lasting. And brothers and sisters, the application is this. We as the people of God, we are the trees of God. oftentimes we are cut down, we are brought down, we are brought low, so that God may build us up to become a lasting testament to His goodness and truth. It is when we are cut down that we can expand in our spiritual growth. Verse 4, they came to Jordan. And Jordan is actually foretelling people coming in the New Testament, the River Jordan, to repent and to be baptized by John the Baptist. But they also point to John baptizing Jesus in the very same river. You have to come and repent, even though Jesus has no sin to repent. Yet He come and repent and be baptized to show you the example that there's a need for repentance and surrender. Verse 5, but as one was felling the log, his axe fell into the water. The axe here in verse 5 represents Jesus. Jesus as the axe is the incarnate word. The Bible says in Matthew 3:10, and now the axe, which is the pulong san Dios, is laid unto the root of the tree. And the tree here represents man. Therefore, if every tree, if every man does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and cast into the fire. Now, there is an axe, but there's also a head. The head represents authority. It represents God. It represents Christ. Meaning say that God put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet, the hope of salvation, upon His head. Jesus is the head of this church. Therefore, the axe falling to the water, it represents Jesus, the incarnate word, who carries all authority and hope for mankind, being baptized in the River Jordan and receiving the Holy Spirit to begin His ministry. When Jesus went to River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, heaven opened up and He has an affirmation from God the Father, and the Spirit came like a dove and rest upon Jesus. It's talking about the anointing that came from Jesus to kickstart His ministry. Verse 5, the student cried, alas, my master, it was borrowed. The axe head does not belong to the student. It belongs to someone else. And I'm trying to tell you that we cannot borrow God's authority from anyone else except from Jesus Christ. Everything that you have, all authority that you have to heal the sick, to convince people the gospel of Jesus Christ, all your ability to teach, all your ability to sing, to dance, to write, to direct, to plan, to organize, to follow up to disciples, all those, it's not yours. You borrow it from Jesus Christ. It all belongs to God the Father. And today you have what you have. You are what you are. And you're doing what you're doing. It's not because of yourself. You borrow it from Christ. It's because of Christ's death that all these gifting and riches are imputed unto you. The axe head does not belong to you. The authority does not belong to you. Your gifting does not belong to you. Your calling does not belong to you. You borrow it from God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. All authority is given through Christ. Repentance and baptism give us full access to all the authorities and the gifts and the grace of God. Let's look at the next verse. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When He showed him the place, He cut off a stick, which is actually a branch, and threw it into the water. The branch represents people here. John says that I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. According to Acts, those who repent and are baptized become the Lord's branches. And as His branches become engrafted into the main vine, which is Jesus Christ, as living testimonies to God's goodness and truth. Water here. You throw the branch into the water. The water represents the Spirit of God. And this is in line with what Jesus promised in Isaiah. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of Kaluwasan. And Jesus even spoke of the streams of the living water flowing out from within our belly for those who receive Him, for those who receive the Holy Spirit. John 4:13-26. Next, how to recover our axe head that is fallen. Verse 6, and make the iron float. Iron here in verse 6 represents human strength and confidence in one's power. When Daniel received the image of the different eras that's coming in, one of the image is the lake that is made of iron. Iron represents human strength. And therefore, 1 Corinthians says, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stand take heed lest he fall. We can do nothing in our own strength. It was the Spirit of God that raised the iron axe head up. It was the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the same power through baptism that natural man with his sinful nature is buried and then arises out of the water, resurrected, born again, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I will show you later in the Christ-centric link how the iron flowed. Verse 7, and he said, take it up! So he reached out his hand and took it. The word take it up is symbolizing to us today the commandment of God. Take up our cross. If you don't take up your cross by dying to self and surrendering all to Jesus Christ, you can never raise and resurrect your fallen authority, your fallen calling, your fallen axe head. And look at it again. The axe handle. The axe head is attached to the handle. Can you see in the picture? Okay, the axe head is attached to the handle. The axe handle represent us. We are the vehicle by which the axe that represent the word of God that is used to push back the darkness. The axe head represent Jesus. The handle represent the Christians. And when you talk about Jesus, you're also talking about the word of God. What good is the axe head without the handle to wield it? How can God's word be known unless we share the gospel? All born again Christians are the axe handle of God. And the axe is the gospel, the good news, the word of God that can effectively cut down the old life of sin and resurrect it unto the newness of God's kind of life. In the case of Ecclesiastes, you see the scenario of Christian workers overusing their axe, overusing their gifting, overusing their service to the point that they become blunt. And when you keep using the blunt edge without sharpening it, it will need more strength and time from you with little output. I call that wasting your human resources when you're working with a blunt axe. In the second case of our key text in 2 Kings, you're working, pero you're not watching. And consequently, you lost, you dropped your axe head and it fell to the bottom of the river. And therefore, you are unable to continue your work. I call that losing your cutting edge. The second scenario is more serious than the first scenario because you cannot work at all without the axe head. I say, if you are a person that dropped your axe head to the bottom of the river, it means you have lost your calling, you have lost your purpose, you have lost your function, you have lost your gifting. Which category of worker describes you today? Are you the worker with a blunt axe, serving and serving and serving again and again with so much energy and time, but with little output? Or are you the workers whose axe heads have sunk to the riverbed? You are just a handle without the axe head now. You are just a born-again Christian, but no calling, no authority of God, no direction, no purpose, no service, no relationship with God. No more cutting edge in anything of your life. You become walapulos in the kingdom of God. If you're either one of these two categories, then may I direct your attention to the axe down one. If you have lost your axe head, or if today you have your axe head still retained to the handle, but it's blunt, then look to Jesus, the axe down one. For all our foolishness, if you are from Ecclesiastes 10:8, Jesus became the one that was axe down because of all our unproductive service. How so? Let's read again. And now also the axe, which is the pulong sanjos, which is Jesus Christ, the living one, is laid unto the root of the tree, which is man. Therefore, if any tree or if any man does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and cast into the fire. The root of the tree here refers to the basic root cause of man's failure to produce good fruit. It exposes the root cause behind our blunt axe. And what are the root problems? Number one, our fallen nature. After Adam and Eve's sin, our fallen nature basically has an aversion of seeking God. It enjoys living for itself. It enjoys living for ourselves. It enjoys carnal living and satisfying the flesh. The excuse is often, I just don't feel like seeking God. What is the root cause that the axe got to come down to the bottom of the tree? To the bottom or the root cause of our problem? Blindness. Sin blinds us to our need and dependence on God. Next, arrogance. The Bible says in Psalms, the wicked are too proud to seek God. And Isaiah tells us that God was ready to be sought by you, yet we didn't want to seek God. We follow our own path and our own crooked scheme. Why? Arrogance. Next, misplaced trust. Because of Adam and Eve trusting the suggestion of the devil more than God's commandment. Therefore, we all have a senget kind of trust in our heart. It's always misplaced. The Bible says in Isaiah, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and horsemen because they are very strong. Fallen human nature loves to trust in Egypt, loves to trust the world. We love to trust the world's, you know, core value. We love to trust the world's method, the world's trend, the world's word, the world's fashion, the world's counsel. And we love to trust in horses and chariots. Horses and chariots refers to the machinery, men's inventions, men's ingenuity. And we love to trust in many horsemen. We love to trust in the strength of human effort. Sorry. I cannot compete with nature. Okay, next. What is another root cause of us not wanting to wait upon the Lord, not wanting to go to the presence of God to sharpen our axe? It's a wrong sense of value and worth. For many of us who are serving God, our identity is wrapped up in our work and activity. We find our value and sense of worth in the work of service. The danger in this is that there is a very fine line between working for God out of love for Him and working for God to earn God's approval. When seeking to earn His approval, we will operate from our own efforts rather than depending on the Holy Spirit. We may experience some short-term success, but you will not see lasting fruit. And you will not experience exponential impact upon our labor. So Jesus, the axe, the living word, was laid to the root of the tree, laid to the root problem of man. And what's that? The basic problem of mankind. How? By being cut down, by being axed down on the cross and cast into the fire so that our spiritual axe head will not be blunt but sharpened by the fire of Christ's death to produce many good fruits and not just a few. In a degree, you see Jesus as the word being axed down on the cross for our ineffective blunt axe. To that level, will you allow the Holy Spirit to crucify alongside with Jesus your fallen nature, blindness, arrogance, misplaced trust, and wrong sense of value and worth, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you the faith, dependence, reliance in the Son of God to become the sharpened axe of God. Our activity needs to emanate from this revelation that God loves us unconditionally. Our doing is not to earn His favor. Rather, it's an act of worshipful gratitude for His love and all He has done for us. Effortless service starts from a position of obeying the biblical instruction to wait on God. Our identity, our sense of worth should not be wrapped up in our work and accomplishment. Rather, it should be connected to our position as sons and daughters of God. The posture of waiting on God is constantly presented in the scripture as the appropriate starting point for all effective and fruitful service. God's calling to us today, before we go and hack our acts in all the different events line up for the month of September, let us today take time to wait upon the Lord. Andrew Murray says this, waiting on God has its value in that it makes us strong in work for God. As work, waiting on God lies at the root of all true working for God. So working for God must be the fruit of all true waiting upon Him. You want to sharpen your axe? Remember, Jesus was already axed down to address the root cause of our aversion to waiting upon God. Now, what if today your problem is not a blunt axe, but worse, your problem is you have lost the axe head? Then look to Jesus, the baptized one in the River Jordan. He had become the fallen axe head, chopped down at the tree of Calvary, to become the fallen axe head at the river bed of hell. Because Jesus became the axed down one, sinking to the river of death, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to float the sunken axe head, the sunken dead spirit of Jesus, and float Him up, resurrect Him up, raise Him up, defying gravity and death. And today, the Holy Spirit is here to summon your fallen axe head to rise to the surface so that you can continue to have the axe attached to the handle of your life. Brothers and sisters, the axe head cannot rise until Elisha throw in the stick. And you can never throw in a stick until you cut and chop down the stick. So you can never have resurrection. You can never rise miraculously until you apply the resurrection work of Jesus Christ through His life being axed down for you. In conclusion, are you in a hurry to hack away your life in this coming harvest month? So eager to perform, so eager to sing, evangelize, pray, play, without first sharpening your axe. Let's come. Take time to sharpen your axe. And once God sharpened it, don't drop it through your failure to watch. Before I ask the musician, can I ask the musician to come to the stage? Before I ask you all to stand and sing a song, I would like to close today's message with a testimony of a member in our church. Just now I asked him permission whether I can share an example of his life. I want to share the life of Franco Corrado. You know, in the early years, Sarkazon, Franco was among the first to attend our church. He was among the first in our music department, way before Marco. But then, due to carelessness and also not seeking God, he lost his axe head. His axe head fell to the river bed and remained there for many years. He lost his church. He lost his testimony. He lost his faith in Jesus Christ. He lost his obedience. He lost everything. And he was at the river bed for many, many years. It's as if like hopeless. Dulat na. Walak pulos. No use. But we thank the Lord. We thank God that the axe head fell in River Jordan. One day, the Spirit just stirred in him. And he repented. And he resurrendered his life to God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God resurrected the fallen axe head. And today, he is back to the worship ministry. You can see him playing. But then, the axe became blunt. Okay? Your axe can become blunt when you don't use it. Your axe can also be blunt through overuse. He became the axe for playing the electric guitar. He's an electric guitarist. He's electric, he cannot play anymore because there's gout in the hand. So his axe for the electric guitar